This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper in Manchester, New Hampshire, where CBS News projects that former President Donald Trump wins the New Hampshire Republican primary, defeating Nikki Haley.
This is a fantastic state. This is a great, great state. You know, we won New Hampshire three times now, three. We win it every time. We win the primary, we win the generals, we've won it, and it's a very, very special place to me. It's very important.
Haley congratulating Trump and saying she's staying in.
This race is far from over. There are dozens of states left to go.
As for voters, they said the economy and immigration were top issues for them. One in five voters made up their minds in the last few days. Next up for the GOP is the South Carolina Republican primary. That is 1 month from today. South Carolina, of course, Nikki Haley's home state. I'm Matt Piper in Manchester, New Hampshire. Now with more CBS News, here's Deborah Rodriguez.
Russia says one of its military transport planes has gone down. Reuters video shows an eyewitness reacting to a massive fireball and a huge column of thick black smoke at the crash site. CBS's Vicky Barker is at the foreign desk.
Russia's defense ministry says the military transport plane was carrying 65 Ukrainian prisoners of war when it crashed in the Belgorod region of Russia near the border with Ukraine. No word on any survivors and no word on the cause of the crash. Russia's news agency says the POWs were being transported to the border region for a prisoner exchange.
Another snafu at Boeing. A 757 operated by Delta lost a nose wheel as it was getting ready to take off from Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International over the weekend. The FAA says the part came off and rolled down a hill. No one was hurt. Passengers were put on a replacement flight. 170 Boeing 737 MAX 9s have been grounded for weeks after a door panel blew off on an Alaska Airlines flight in midair. eBay says it'll respond to stiffer competition and less consumer spending by laying off about 1,000 full-time employees. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
For a long time, it seemed as though the tech industry was going through a correction, cutting staff after massive hiring sprees during the pandemic. The continued layoffs throughout the tech industry suggest something more is happening.
Three more baseball greats headed to the Hall of Fame.
Beltre to deep left field. High, deep, and out of here.
Third baseman Adrian Beltre voted in. Catcher Joe Mauer and first baseman Todd Helton headed to Cooperstown, too. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers voted to amend a bill to ban abortion after 14 weeks on Tuesday. The amendment allowed exceptions for rape and incest and requires doctors to make reasonable efforts to preserve the life of a fetus during a medical emergency. The bill got a public hearing on Monday where both Democrats and pro-life activists railed against the bill. Governor Evers has said that he would not sign the bill if it made it to his desk. President Biden will be back in town on Thursday. He plans to talk about his administration's efforts to rebuild the nation's infrastructure in Superior. Wisconsin and Minnesota are getting $1 billion to replace the Blatnick Bridge connecting Superior to Duluth, thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure bill. The president's visit comes after Vice President Kamala Harris visited the Waukesha area on Monday. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks searching for a new head coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks are conducting interviews after firing their head coach, Adrian Griffin, yesterday, just halfway into the regular season. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski broke the story.
An agonizing decision for this Milwaukee organization. They were very fond of Adrian Griffin. They gave him his first head coaching opportunity, and they made a decision to make the change. They told Adrian Griffin that he's out.
Veteran NBA coach Doc Rivers said to be a leading candidate. The 62-year-old Rivers fired acquired by the 76ers last May. College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers with a 61-59 win over the Gophers in Minnesota. Tyler Wall with 16 points, including a pair of free throws with just 5 seconds left, says they needed to be a little more consistent.
I think we started out the game sticking to the game plan pretty well. Not necessarily sloppy, but we didn't have urgency that we needed to on the three-point shooters. But we talked about it in a few of the timeouts, got it straightened out, and at that point, it was kind of a dogfight.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We have some patchy, dense fog out there this morning, and there could be some frost on the roads, too, especially in places further north where temperatures are at or even a little below the freezing mark. Cloudy today, scattered rain likely with patchy fog, our high 36. Tonight, foggy with showers, 33. Tomorrow, cloudy with scattered showers at a high near 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go,
this
go, go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
I'm skeptical about some of the things we spend our money on now. Our tax money, that stealth bomber, that thing, the invisible plane, $2 billion for an invisible plane that you can see. Yeah, I wouldn't mind if they just showed you an empty field and like, hey, everybody, it's the stealth bomber, you know? Now I'm getting my money's worth. But they don't. They fly it over the Super Bowl, you know? They're like, look, it's the stealth bomber. I'm like, not invisible. Turn it on. Yeah, we would think for $2 billion they could blink it one time for us. And then my friend tells me, no, it's invisible to radar. So we can bomb people as long as they're not looking up. Which is tricky. I guess we go in first and throw out a bunch of quarters, and then... Thank you.
Way to WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen. I want to thank you for joining me on this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning. I get so confused on the days. I used to yell at my mother all the time. I yell at her, but I used to say to her, come on, you're getting old. You don't even know what day it is. Here I am, folks. I used to tell her, too, look at all the pills you take. You take too many pills. Here I am, folks. Boy, you go to the doctor way too often. Look how many doctors you go to. Here I am, folks. Isn't it funny? All the things we criticized our parents for. Here we are. What a show this morning. Wait, in just a couple of minutes from now, we're going to talk to Brian Ewing, production specialist at Milwaukee PBS. They have got a real super special coming on the 29th of the month. It's an Al Capone special, but Al Capone's relationship to Wisconsin, especially the Northwoods area. Things you never knew before about Scarface himself. We'll find out when Brian joins us in just a few minutes. Then at 7:06, we've got our second candidate for the 4th Aldermanic District race. David Mack will be here in studio. The forecast, rain today, highs near 37, cloudy, lows around 34 tonight, rain likely tomorrow with a high near 38, right now cloudy and 35 degrees. Doesn't that sound good? 38 degrees, 35 degrees, 37, 34, that sounds like good numbers, don't they? What's something else for you? Next week, we're going to be in the mid-40s, mid to upper 40s next week, and that's something. I didn't see that straight ahead. But for everybody who's saying, and I hear people say, winter's over, thank goodness. Remember the 24-inch blizzard we had on Groundhog Day in 2011. So winter's far from over. But this is a good sign. I like this. This is very good. 35 and cloudy right now. All that ice we had yesterday on the sidewalk, that slippery, you couldn't even see it. It was just a very thin layer of ice. When Pippin was leaving, Pippin McKelly was here from Preservation Racine yesterday. At 8 o'clock, she was leaving the building. She said, you got to walk like a penguin when you are on ice. Lean forward. And she's kind of right, because what's the first thing that happens when you slip on the ice? You fall backwards. She said, lean forward like a penguin. And she's right. I thought you meant slide on your belly on the sidewalk like a penguin. You ever see the penguins on the ice? They slide on their belly. That's what I thought you was talking about. She said, you got to do it like a penguin. You mean slide on your belly on the sidewalk? I'll try that. It was really bad. I couldn't, when I was leaving the building, I could not walk on the sidewalk. I had to walk across a lawn, which had like, you know, snow on it. And I just, it was terrible. Today, it's fine. It's 35 degrees. There's no ice out there. So that's good. Just wet. People still drive like lunatics, though. That hasn't changed one iota. Okay, did you wake up itchy this morning? Well, don't worry about it unless you live in Chicago. Orkin just posted his 2024 list of the top cities for bed bugs. Chicago, number one, fourth year in a row. The list is of the top 50 states using data on how many people had to call exterminators for bed bugs over the past 12 months. New York City, number two, followed by Philadelphia, the Cleveland, Akron, Ohio area. Los Angeles, Detroit, Washington, D.C., Indianapolis, Charlotte, and Champaign, Illinois. Globally, Paris, the number one bed bug hotspot in the world right now is Paris, France. Now, this is interesting. I can ask David Mack about this because he was a school teacher. A middle school in North Carolina removed all of its bathroom mirrors because kids were going to the bathroom and using the mirrors to film their TikTok videos. Some were going to the bathroom up to 9 times a day. If one of my students was going 9 times a day, I think I'd send him to the nurse and say there's something wrong here. 9 times a day. They took the mirrors out of the boys, out of the men's room. Actually, I took them out of the bathrooms. I don't say if it was girls' or boys' room. A new survey asked Americans if they'd prefer a job that they love or that paid a lot of money. 66% said they want a fun job, which makes sense when you think about it, because you're going to spend one-third your life at your job, 8 hours a day. So once you're an adult, that's one-third your life. You might as well have a good time. And that's why, you know, people say, well, my mother used to say to me, well, you're going to be a disc jockey all your life? Is that what you're going to do with your life? Yeah, Mom, that's about the size of it. Because I didn't want to work for a living. And although it's a very busy job, especially when I was program director here and, you know, at different stations, it's a lot of work. It's busy, but it's fun work. I mean, come on. You sit and play music all day or talk all day? I mean, how hard can that be? Really, think about it. More than 200 people in Florida had a birthday parade for a woman who had just turned 101. Her name is Valeria Ryan, and she's a war veteran, a World War II vet. She joined the Navy in World War II and taught soldiers how to land bombs. She told a reporter the secret to her longevity, living 101, drink all the booze you can drink. I guess she would know. Royal Caribbean's new Icon of the Seas cruise ship is now the largest one in the world at 1,198 feet long. It's got its newest crew member, too, this month. I can't even speak this morning. This is going to be tough. Welcoming aboard a 6-month-old golden retriever named Rover. How'd they think of that name? Was named Chief Dog Officer. Rover's job? To bring joy and happiness to her fellow crew and guests. You better keep your eye on Rover, though. I don't want her to see something and jump overboard. So just keep your eye on Rover, okay? LinkedIn posted a list of red flags that the place you're applying to is a toxic workplace. If the whole interview process is overly complicated, they're probably not too well organized. If they can't tell you your exact job duties, you'll probably be wearing lots of hats. And if they keep saying, we're like family, it's a sign they expect you to work long hours for the love of the company and not the money. Okay. Odd but true. Ryan Gosling, big A-list famous actor, got suspended from school in the first grade for throwing steak knives at other kids. He claimed it was because he had just seen the movie First Blood, the Rambo movie, and said he thought we were all in the movie. Oh, hope they get that kid help. He turned out okay, though. A woman called 911 after her aunt texted, "I'm having a heart attack." If I got that text, I'd call 911 for an ambulance. Turns out, she didn't mean it literally. She'd been watching the Packers game over the weekend, and she was just so stressed out against the game against the 49ers. She said, "I'm having a heart attack." You can't be texting that to people. They take you literally. This is good news, I guess. A new study out of MIT has found that we may not lose our jobs to robots and AI anytime soon, but probably down the line somewhere. You know, I remember in radio when the first automation systems were coming around. I was just getting into radio when they had this really kind of lightweight automation stuff. Look at it now. You really don't need people like me anymore. Well, you do if you're going to do talk radio. But with music radio, you really don't need human beings there anymore. Yeah, it's getting everywhere. The Wall Street Journal says the trick to a great marriage is, and I don't know if I agree with this one, going on vacation without your significant other. I don't know if I want to do that. And I don't think my wife would want to go on vacation without me. Maybe she would, maybe she wouldn't. All right, we're going to talk more about this in detail on Friday with Brent Hoffman. And next week, too, because we have the Movie Mom coming in next week. Did I mention that already? Yeah, the Movie Mom's going to be here next week. Nell Minow, and it's going to be on a week from today. Nell Minow's going to be here. She is the Movie Mom. She's a movie reviewer online. She's been doing it for years, knows everything about movies, goes to Cannes Film Festival, goes to all these events. So the Movie Mom's going to be here. But more than that, her dad is very famous. Nell Minow's dad was Newton Minow. Newton Minow was appointed by President John Kennedy to be the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission back in the, you know, early 60s. And he coined the phrase, TV is a vast wasteland. That's still remembered today and still taught. And he passed away last year, Newton Minow. But that's his daughter, Nell Minow, and she will be here on the air with us a week from today talking about all these award shows coming up. Because I believe this week or next week, do they have the Academy Award nominees are coming out. So yeah, we're going to look forward to that. Anyway, the Razzie nominees were announced. These are the worst of the worst. These are the pictures nominated for Worst Picture of the Year. The Exorcist Believer, The Expendables 4. Let's see here. We got the Meg 2, The Trench, Shazam, Fury of the Gods, and Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. For Worst Actor, Russell Crowe, Vin Diesel, Chris Evans, Jason Statham, and John Voight. John Voight made a movie this year? Who knew? Worst Actors, Ana de Armas, Megan Fox, Selma Hayek, Jennifer Lopez, and this one surprised me, Dame Helen Mirren. She's nominated for Worst Actress. And that's for the movie Shazam, Fury of the Gods. What was she doing in that movie? Dame Helen Mirren. She's a great actress. How did she get involved in the worst movie of the year? Anyway, so we'll talk about the Razzies with Nell Minow coming up next week. And also this Friday with Brett Hoffman of Marcus Theaters. Okay, family wanted to order 20 McDonald's chicken nuggets. So they called DoorDash. By accident, 200 were delivered. Now, I like chicken nuggets, but 200? I wonder if they had to pay for all of them because it was a mistake. All right. And quickly here, before we have a second, Showbiz News Director Norman Jewison passed away the other day. In the heat of the night, Moonstruck, The Thomas Crown Affair, Fiddler on the Roof, all his great movies. And Jurassic World 4 is in the works, but this time the writer of the original Jurassic Park was brought in. All right, we're talking Al Capone in Wisconsin coming up in just a few minutes. Brian Ewig's going to be here, the production specialist for PBS here in Milwaukee, channels 10 and 36. That's straight ahead, WRJN, a Civic Media station, hometown radio, refreshed.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
There's something magical about unboxing. When you unbox BritBox, you uncover a world of British entertainment. Stream the UK's most brilliant series, including new and upcoming seasons of Shetland, Father Brown, and Death in Paradise. Plus new originals like Payback, Irving Welsh's Crime, and Archie, the story of Hollywood's greatest leading man, Cary Grant. Unbox BritBox and escape to the best of British TV. Stream with a free trial at BritBox.com.
Okay, everyone. everyone, gather around. It's time for corny jokes about passing the torch.
The team at Kyrian's Welding was fused together solid.
Thanks for all the late nights and early shifts.
But double retirements mean the crew must bond with some certified new hires.
You've both gone the extra millimeter.
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
It's 6:20 at WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen. I want to thank you for joining us here this morning. Brian Ewig is here, production specialist for Milwaukee PBS. That's channels 10 and 36 in Milwaukee. Hey, good morning, Brian. Thanks for joining us here.
Hey, Don. Thanks for having me. Pleasure.
Special Flights of My Heart from Milwaukee PBS. I was the host of their Channel 10 auction for 37 years. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a little before I was there.
That's before color TV was invented. No, that was... it was still color TV back then. Yeah, I was a whippersnapper back then. But yeah, 36 or 37 years I was with them. Anyway, so Brian is here, and you have a partner in this deal, Tracy Newman. And together, you put together this documentary, and it's about Al Capone, but not the stuff we know about Al Capone. This is what we don't know about Al Capone. It's his Wisconsin connection. Now, I know a lot of the gangsters came to Wisconsin to get away from the law. It was easy to get lost in the North Woods of Wisconsin. Dillinger was up there. Babyface Nelson. They were all up there in northern Wisconsin. But Al Capone was, and I wasn't aware of that. I was aware about the others. Because in Little Bohemia, you can have dinner at John Dillinger's hangout up there. And
Absolutely. You know, and there's tales until the cows come home about all those gentlemen up in the North Woods. And so what's special about this documentary, what we actually found is a correspondence between a landowner up in the North Woods and Al Capone. Al Capone was trying to purchase land up in the North Woods. That never ended up happening, but what we ended up getting was these years of correspondence, of a friendly correspondence between Al Capone and a land proprietor up in the North Woods. Along that, we've uncovered a series of images of Al Capone up in Winchester, Wisconsin, in those North Woods, goofing around with his friends, hanging out with guns, kind of being silly and having a good time.
What was he going to do in the North Woods?
You know, it seems like he went up there initially for a vacation, fell in love with it, and was looking to purchase property. Maybe he was looking to purchase property elsewhere in the throughout the country. You know, I don't know those things, but it seemed like he was trying to get away and have a good time and do some fishing and have some fun.
A retirement property.
Absolutely. IRAs weren't around back then, so yeah, you got to have something.
Now, Al Capone, obviously known as Scarface, took over Chicago and some pretty rough stuff with Al Capone. He wound up moving to Florida and he wound up dying. I think he didn't die at Alcatraz like the movie show. He caught syphilis or something and died in Florida, I guess. But he spent time at Alcatraz. So was it Manitowish Waters? Is that where all this took place?
Yes, so it's a little city just outside of Manitowish Waters called Winchester, Wisconsin. Actually, his brother, Ralph Capone, also in his later days moved up to the North Woods to Mercer, Wisconsin, lived up there for probably about 30 years, lived out the rest of his life up there, owned a bar and had quite a life in Mercer, Wisconsin, so... There's quite a connection between the Capones and the North Woods that is very fascinating.
Where's Mercer?
Again, it's up in that Manitowish Waters, Dillinger area with the Little Bohemia. It's all up in that area.
All right. Now, we don't think of Al Capone as sitting there writing letters to buy property. Usually, you'd think he would just come in and take it. But I guess he was...
Yeah.
Go ahead. What are you going to say there?
Absolutely. It's fascinating. And what we do see, like I said, we see this personal friendship develop between these two people where at some point Al Capone is saying, how's your son's baseball team? I would like to be his manager. Here's a rocking horse for your son, offering all these gifts. And so it's you really see this personal friendship develop through these years. It's fascinating.
And, you know, I don't know if I want to be friends with Al Capone. You know, let me tell you, you could take that information two different ways. You could say, listen, I need this land. And by the way, I saw your son's baseball team. We wanted it. Wouldn't want anything to happen to your son, would we now? So how much was the land you were going to sell me? I'd just give it to him at that point. I'd be terrified Absolutely. To deal with these people. They're low life and they have no scruples. They don't value life. They don't value anything except what they want for themselves. I would have nothing to do with them.
You know, and you're correct probably in that assumption, but we ended up tracking down Babe Hawkinson, who is the granddaughter of this gentleman, Bill Sell, that he was sending the letters to. And, you know, she had much of the same response that that you're having right now, but she heard the stories from her. She heard very different stories from her mother and her grandmother, and so there was quite a conflict there that she had to come to grips with the fact that yes, her grandfather, you know, they let in people like Al Capone, but at the same time they also let Al Capone and his friends take their daughter out fishing, take their daughter out
brother
by herself. Yeah, and so there was a clear trust there, and it was interesting. There's no evidence that Bill Sell, the gentleman he was corresponding with up north, was in any illicit activity. He was a land proprietor and seemed like a guy who kind of just knew how to get things done. So there was just a friendship there, and I don't think it was anything super suspicious. I think it was just a friendship, and it's, like you said, a very different side of him.
That's like having, you know, oh, sweetie, John Gotti's here. He wants to take our son out to fishing this afternoon. John Gotti and a couple of guys in black suits are here, and they say they want to buy. That's okay? All right, John, just take just have him back by 5 o'clock this afternoon. Who in their right mind would do something like that? He had to know the reputation. Now, again, you got to remember, they didn't have the media coverage like they have today. Where everybody sure. knew every, you know, today we know everybody's move. We know exactly when they're leaving now. Back then, they didn't. They just had whatever was in the newspapers. They had, there was no TV. There was radio, but I don't know about the North Woods, how much radio they right. had up there. So, but they had to know what a reputation he had because this was later on in life, right?
Of course, yes. Yeah. So, in fact, one of the letters in 1925, he wrote from Pennsylvania Penitentiary where he was locked up for a weapons charge. So, yeah, there's no ambiguity there.
Sweetie, Al Capone said he's going to be out of prison Wednesday. Can he come over for dinner Thursday? I think it would be a nice welcome home day. He can? All right, Al, just when they let you out of prison, just come right over for dinner. Who does this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Now, did you speak to the landowner's granddaughter?
Yes. So you will see her in the documentary. She really comes to grip, again, like you said, with understanding how her grandparents could let someone like Al Capone into their house and trust him.
Unless you do it through fear.
Yeah,
I mean, what if he's... I don't think Al Capone likes to hear the word no a lot. That's just my
guess. Nobody, you know, it seemed like he was a different person up in those North Woods. It looked like he was truly looking to escape and do some fishing.
When is the documentary on, by the way? It's the 29th?
Yeah, so it'll be on Monday, airs at 8 o'clock and 9:30.
Oh, good. I got to say,
this is twice on Channel 10.
Yeah, this is must-see TV, Channel 10, Monday at, what'd you say, 9 and 10:30?
8 o'clock
and 9:30. 8 o'clock and 9:30. I don't know what's the matter with me. Hold on a second, Brian. We got more to talk about. Brian Ewig here from Milwaukee PBS. We're talking about their new documentary, Al Capone and the North Woods of Wisconsin. More coming up here, WRJN Radio. Hometown Radio Refresh, the Civic Media Station. Don't move.
Talk and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show,
weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Boy, we are quickly moving through the month of January. Can we still squeeze out some exports? I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Boy, I'll tell you what, that window of opportunity is definitely closing with the South American crop now coming forward to take center stage. John Heinberg, market advisor, says we really need corn exports to pick up.
Basically, January, February, March is our window to be the leader in the export market. The Brazilian market has kind of lost some of its supply. Argentina's been dealing with 2 years of drought, but they have a record corn crop forecasted for this year coming at us. You know, so these next few months are vital, and we need to see those sales numbers really pick up as well as the shipment numbers for corn. And then we got to see what happens with that South American production. So it's going to be a very interesting point over the next few weeks here to see if we can get those numbers that we need that can help support price, you know, on top of our large supply that we're trying to work through. At least that's what's forecasted out there.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, one of the keynote speakers yesterday during the Ag Outlook Forum on the UW campus. He also said another big concern that corn growers specifically have to focus in on, China, moving more and more of its business to South America. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning. So far, they're showing green. Numbers are next.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau's grassroots policy really truly is a bottom-up process. This is truly started at the bottom, brought by the members, for the members. It really does work its way up the chain. Because this is the core foundation of Farm Bureau. We truly are all-encompassing, and that's why I really believe in the Farm Bureau mission.
WFBF.com.
We are the voice of agriculture.
A voice for farmers.
A vision for agriculture.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance. Keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer. But did you know they also offer a competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Fairly quiet in the dairy complex yesterday. The 40-pound block cheese was unchanged at 150. The barrel cheese dropped 0.75 cents to 146, and AA butter was unchanged 254.5. Starting off on a Wednesday morning, March corn is up 2. December new crop up a penny at 478. March beans right now, nickel stronger. November new crop up 2.5 at 1209. July wheat's up a nickel, 618. February class 3 milk right now down 3, 1567 a hundredweight. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand. Rolling into a Wednesday trade session, I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see fountainhillsapartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
We have some patchy, dense fog out there this morning, and there could be some frost on the roads, too, especially in places further north where temperatures are at or even a little below the freezing mark. Cloudy today, scattered rain likely with patchy fog, our high 36. Tonight, foggy with showers, 33. Tomorrow, cloudy with scattered showers at a high near 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
The For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024 continues. Crudy lands in Las Vegas for the Nevada presidential primary, a competing GOP caucus, and all the build-up to Super Bowl 58. Tune in for special events broadcast live from the Vegas Strip. From Nevada primary Tuesday, February 6th through Super Bowl Friday, Crudy brings on the ground coverage from a...
a summer night in the land of the dollar bill, when the town of Chicago died and they talk about it still. When a man named Al Capone tried to make that town his own, and he called his gang to war with the forces of the law, I heard my mama cry.
Not too many top 40 hits based on the life of Al Capone, but we found one. Brian Ewig is here now, production specialist from Milwaukee PBS. We're talking about their big special coming up Monday night at 8 and 9:30, and it's going to be about Al Capone in the North Woods of Wisconsin. And Brian, you put this together with Tracy Newman, right?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, behind every great production is a great producer, and he really was able to make all of my crazy wild ideas come to life, you know. So when I come to her with an idea that says, you know, why don't you give Diane Capone, his granddaughter, a call? She calls her up and makes that connection.
Now, where did you find her?
You know what?
Is she on Facebook?
Tracy did some. Again, that's part of being a great producer. Tracy was able to track her down and made just cold called Diane Capone.
How old is she?
She was in her 80s, or okay. She is in her 80s, I should say.
Wow.
And so we went out to, she's outside of Sacramento. So we went out to Sacramento to meet her. My favorite Diane Capone story is we got up, we pulled out of the car, and Diane came and greeted us at the door. And she opened the door, looked at us, turned to her husband and goes, "Hey, Don, they're just kids."
they don't know.
I think she was expecting someone a little older to be interested in this history, so it was very funny.
You know, I took the tour in Chicago once, the Untouchables tour. You ever take that tour?
I have not. No.
It's a bus tour about all the crime spots in Chicago, and they take you to this church where there were bullet holes still on the side of the church where they had a gun, where they gunned down somebody. You get to go to a Banyan's flower shop where he, you know, made the flowers for all the people rubbed out. And if you go to Mount Carmel Cemetery in Chicago, that's where Al Capone is buried. His whole family's buried there. They have a big cemetery plot. And people on his little gravestone in the ground, they put bottles of liquor, cigars, things like that. Yeah, they shouldn't really honor this guy. He was a real low-life tarantula, so they shouldn't honor him. But
right,
he's right there. And across from him is Dino Banyan, the guy who these two guys couldn't get along. You know, they try to kill each other. And not far from him is Sam Giancana, another mobster. He's got a big mausoleum. The interesting part about his is you can look into the mausoleum through the window, and there's a picture of him and a woman, and the woman is not his wife. It's his mistress. And that's the way it'll be for eternity in that mausoleum.
He knew who he wanted to be with, yeah.
So the documentary focuses on the outdoorsman of Al Capone, the friendly Al Capone, the one who wanted to retire in the North Woods. And by the way, you mentioned Manitouish Waters. Every two months, we have the editor and the founder of Our Wisconsin magazine on, and they're located in Manitouish Waters. I got to ask him if he knows about any of this stuff.
Oh, yeah. This all came out pretty recently. Again, this collection just came to Manitouish Waters within the last few months. So this is all pretty fresh.
Hmm. So again, what did Al Capone's daughter have to say about any of this? Did she, did she remember her dad's days as being a gangster?
No. Okay. So Diane Capone is his granddaughter.
Oh, granddaughter. Oldest, granddaughter. I'm sorry. Granddaughter.
The oldest living remaining granddaughter still alive, and really the last one to have any sort of connection with him. So her story is she was 4 years old when Al Capone passed away.
Oh, yeah.
So her memories of him are limited to being a grandfather. And she does remember the day he died, and she tells a great story about that. I'm sorry, I lost my place.
Okay. So when you spoke to her, does she have any pictures, photos, memorabilia of his days in, you know,
in the days
she,
of yeah, being a
she
gangster?
Yeah, she did. And I'm sorry, I remembered where I was. So how she ended up gathering all this personal family history and images and photos and history is her grandmother, Al Capone's wife, ended up living well into her 70s. So there was another 30 years there where Diane would sit with her and collect all of these stories and jot all this stuff down. And again, Diane's another one that she was using her maiden name up until about last year. She decided to write this book in a response to all the, what she calls false narratives that were coming out about her grandfather's life. So during COVID, she ended up writing this book and really telling all the family history that has been shared in her family through all these years.
Does she have any grandchildren? Does she have any children herself?
She does, yes.
So there's great-great-grandchildren running around. Great-great-grandchildren.
Yes.
Yeah. Great-grandchildren it would be, yeah. So the Capone line still goes on. But their name wouldn't be Capone. It would be her married name, wouldn't it?
Yes, it was her married name. She did end up, when she wrote the book, switching to Capone and giving herself that, you know, going by that name so she could tell these stories and have that kind of credibility there. So, but yes, for most of her life, she was by her married name. She said her neighbors didn't even know this history about her. So there was a lot of inner turmoil. She didn't really want to, growing up, she said the name Capone, there was quite a lot of negative connotation to that. So that's not something you flaunt around too much.
And what's really interesting, they never got him for any of the crimes he committed. They got him for tax evasion.
But what's interesting is, and so in one of these letters that Al Capone was writing back and forth up to Bill Sell in Manitouish Waters, in one of the letters, Al Capone says, "Hey, Bill, do you got any more of that moonshine? I really liked that moonshine you had. Can you bring some down to Chicago? Your friend Al." That letter sat in a drawer for 70 years. But what they said is that if that letter were revealed, you know, that would have been the missing piece to charge him on moonshining. They would have had something tangible there to charge him with if they had that letter.
Yeah, but you need to get him on all the murders he was responsible for. I mean,
sure.
That's really what you want to get him. It doesn't really matter. He got put away. Now, people don't realize he was only 48 years old when he died. He was not an old man. He was a young guy at 48. But he caught syphilis.
Yeah,
he caught syphilis.
He had some health issues for sure.
Yeah.
There was a lot going on there. But again, Diane, she was very honest about his past, about what he had done. And she was very honest that he was able to compartmentalize his life and kind of separate that family and business end of things.
You know, his actual crime sprees also ended at age 33. I mean,
he was not on top for that long.
It wasn't like John Gotti, who had a big crime spree going into his older years, and a lot of these crime figures you heard about in New York who were put away, they were old men by that time. But he was only 33 years old. He was a young guy. He looked a lot older in the pictures you see him when he goes to prison. But I love his nicknames. These are the nicknames he had. Scarface, Big Al, Big Boy, Public Enemy Number One, and my favorite one, Snorky. I never heard that one before, Snorky. I heard the others, though.
Oh, that's a good one. I should have said that to Diane, asked her about that one.
Yeah, how'd your dad get the name? How'd your grandpa get the name of Snorky? You know, it's one of those things you probably didn't call him Scarface. Now, they did mention here his brother, Ralph, you mentioned. Then he had Frank Capone. He had Richard James Hart was another brother of his. He was only in prison for 11 years. That's not a lot of time. I mean, I watch Dateline, and some of these people go to prison for like 30, 40 years for, you know, crimes, and this guy only went for 11 years they only got him for.
Yeah, and I think from what I've read and understand, I believe he was let out early due to health issues.
Yeah, it's syphilis.
Yeah. So.
And he was dying. Yeah.
He was, yes.
And it affected his brain. He didn't even know who he was at the end. He didn't know anybody around him. It was, you know, he was really out of it. A lot of people think he's from Chicago. He's not. He's from New York City.
That's right. He didn't move to Chicago until his early 20s.
Boy, look at the names he was associated with. Johnny Torrio, the Northside Gang. Holy mackerel. Do you think he would have set up a, of course, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Would he set up a crime syndicate based out of northern Wisconsin? You don't think that's what he was going to do, do you?
No, I don't think so. And I think there was a lot of I think there was a lot of differences at the time between Wisconsin and Illinois. I mean, Illinois, there were so many other rackets that were going on at the time during Prohibition. There was prostitution. There was all the union rackets. There was so much. The politicians were dirty. There was so much going on there that you weren't seeing those kinds of things happening in Milwaukee at the time. In Milwaukee at the time, you had these socialist mayors who did not ascribe to that kind of thing. And so I think that's why you see a lot less violence. You see a lot less racketeering going on in Milwaukee at that time.
Speaking about crime in the North Woods, do you ever go to the restaurant in Little Bohemia? You ever go up there?
Oh, of course. Yeah, we stopped by on the trip. Yeah, you got to stop by there.
I had dinner there with my wife, and we had the wild mushroom soup, which to this day I can still taste. I thought it was the most delicious food I ever had. In there, you could take a tour of the, it was a hotel, I guess, at the time. They had just gotten done filming Public Enemy with Johnny Depp when we went up there. They had a big sign going across the front of it, Public Enemy, Johnny Depp. And you can actually see the window. They have it encased. The window is encased in another window where the FBI had a shootout with Dillinger up there.
Wow.
Yeah, so you could see where all the holes were. And there was an innocent victim who was killed. It's just a guy who was up there, and he got shot and killed during the shootout with Dillinger. So,
yeah, the Northwoods at that time was kind of a wild, wild place. In the early 1900s, 1920s, it was all woods, and then they cut over all that. It was all cut over land, and then they sold all that land, and people tried to farm that land, but that soil was no good. So, I mean, truly, moonshining at that time was a made-to-make business in these small communities.
Now, this was during Prohibition when you couldn't buy alcohol. The government, it was called the Volstead Act, and during the Volstead Act, you couldn't sell or manufacture any alcohol. So these moonshiners, and the reason I heard they got the name moonshine was because it was made at night during, when the moon was shining, and that's when they used to make it. You generally think of moonshine as being the southern part of the country.
You certainly do, but again, there's a lot of factors that, you can't really jump into history and start with Prohibition. There's history needs context. So what we ended up doing is creating a seven-part web series. If you go to MilwaukeePBS.org, and what that really does, it goes through the history of Milwaukee. It really why they're the brew city, why all these European ethnics came here, how all that happened, what was going on in the world at that time. I think is very important to understand why these prohibitionary laws came into place. I mean, you look at a lot of U.S. laws; a lot of times they're reactionary. So you take a look at what was happening at that time that would cause these things to happen.
And, it's funny. Now it's easy to get to the North Woods. You have nice paved highways, interstate highways taking you up. Back then, they didn't have that kind of travel. It was tough to travel up north. It was a long schlep to get up there. Hold on a second. We're talking to Brian Ewig, production specialist, along with Tracy Newman, on the new special coming up this Monday night at 8 o'clock and again at 9:30. Al Capone, Prohibition and Wisconsin, premieres Monday, January 29th, 8 p.m. And a rerun, right, at 9:30, an encore presentation.
That's right.
All right, so hold on. More with Brian Ewig coming up in just a moment from Milwaukee PBS. It's 6:49 at WRJN, a Civic Media station, hometown radio refreshed.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
Logan's House Dog Daycare and Grooming in Gurnee takes this time out to salute America's military working dogs. Canines have served in the military for over 100 years, and they still serve today. Never forget the brave sacrifices these unsung heroes have made. For more information and ways to support military service dogs, go online and search Military Canine Care. This message from Logan's House Dog Daycare and Grooming on Riverside Drive in Gurnee. Call 224-572-1909 or visit loganshouse.com.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Of a summer night in the land of the dollar bill, when the town of Chicago died and they talk about it still, when a man named Al Capone tried to make that town his own and he called his gang to war with the forces of the law. I heard my mom.
As far as I know, that is the only top 40 hit based on the life of Al Capone. I don't think there's another one out there. I think it's from 1974. Paper Lace, The Night Chicago Died. Did you ever go to the spot of the... we're talking to Brian Ewig, by the way, from Milwaukee PBS. Did you ever go to the spot in Chicago where the St. Valentine's Day Massacre took place?
You know, I have not been there, no, but I hear there's quite a bit of history still, there.
It's nothing there now. It's just an empty area. It's just they tore down whatever building was there. It's just... But it was the Carthage Company where they, you know... carted garbage stuff away, and so it's still there. You can take a look at the spot. You can go to all the crime spots. So if I was to go to northern Wisconsin, I wouldn't really see anything from Al Capone because he never lived up there, right? He never wound up buying the land.
He never ended up purchasing the land that that he was looking at. So he was looking. Interesting story. He was looking at a plot of land owned by the Trestle family, which. That name in itself doesn't ring any bells, but that family ends up becoming that's part of the Uline family.
Oh, okay, in Milwaukee, yeah.
Yes, yep.
Well,
so there's quite a bit of connections to Milwaukee, and, you know, like you said, it took a while to get up to those North Woods, so there's quite a few stops he made along the way. It's not like he's doing that trip in 3 hours, 4 hours. That's a half-day trip that he's making up there. Vehicles are just becoming accessible at this time, so...
Yeah, these were not... he was not driving an air-conditioned Comfort going up there. They were kind of clunky. You felt every bump on the road, and cars overheated a lot.
And these things were tanks, too. These things were heavy and big. Yeah.
All right, here's my gangster story. So I was working downtown Milwaukee at a radio station. It was a holiday weekend. I think it was Memorial Day weekend. And the Milwaukee Public Library was directly across the street from the radio station. I'm looking out the window, and I see all these trucks parked outside. On a holiday? Library's closed. And I notice all the windows are blacked out with tarp. They have black tarp over all the windows. But I could see flashes coming from there. So I went over there after I got off my shift, and I'm talking to some of the guys out there. I said, what's going on in there? He says, they're filming the movie Dillinger with, who was the guy? The guy from Miami Vice. Don Johnson was this Dillinger. And they were filming it at the Milwaukee Public Library, and they used the lobby area as a bank. And the shootout scene, you can see the flashes from all the pyro stuff going off. I said, oh, that's what they're doing. I watched it from across the street. What the heck is going on at the library? But yeah, they were filming Dillinger there. I'm thinking about all the movies they made about Al Capone. I think my favorite one was Rod Steiger playing Al Capone, but there were many of them. But I think he played in the most lunatic. Then you had Robert De Niro, with a baseball bat scene.
That's my tops right there. Yeah, absolutely.
The Untouchables.
Yep.
My wife and I, there's a scene in The Untouchables where a baby carriage is going down the steps at Union Station in Chicago, and they do it in slow motion. It's a takeoff on another movie that was made back in the early days of
Battleship Potemkin.
Yeah, Battleship Potemkin, where the baby's... And there's a scene there where Kevin Costner guns down two mobsters on the step. So my wife and I stood on that exact spot at Union Station and recreated the shootout scene. And she's against the wall like she's dying from the bullets. So it was that exact spot where they filmed it. Oh, we just like doing that. But if you go on the Untouchables tour there, you get to see all this stuff. Then you got to stop by Mount Carmel Cemetery to see Snorky's, I like them. Now that I found that out, Snorky's resting spot. The whole family's there. It's one big, giant monument. Then they have the little ones, and it says Alphonse Capone. Isn't it funny?
Wow.
He spent his entire life intimidating, killing, and blackmailing people, making lives miserable. Although the people in Chicago liked him. And here he is, buried with other gangsters at Mount Carmel Cemetery in peace. He couldn't get along with them in life, but in peace and death, they're going to get along just fine. Now, that's the thing about him. He was the Robin Hood of Chicago. People loved him because he helped people during the Depression. And they were hungry, and he gave money to the food banks and everything.
Absolutely, and that's kind of the story that Diane tells too. Is outside of the United States, he is heralded as a very kind man who did quite a few good things, a Robin Hood, if you will. A lot of people outside of the United States have that view on him.
And of course, you have so many great gangsters. When I say great gangsters, great stories about gangsters. You got Bonnie and Clyde during the Depression. You got Frank Nitti. You've got Babyface Nelson. You got Dillinger and you got Capone. You don't see that much anymore. I mean, they don't have a hold on. Yeah, the last big boss, I think, was John Gotti. I think he was the last big crime boss. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah, and like I was saying, I think, like you said, with all these tours, I think there's still a fascination with that power, that everything that comes with it. And like you said, we don't see these guys in these roles anymore, and that might not be a bad thing necessarily, but there's quite a bit of fascination with these tours, and people are still interested to this day.
Now, I come from a town. I come from a town called Massapequa in Long Island in New York, and one of the people who lived about a half a mile from us was Carlo Gambino, the Godfather himself. That's what Marlon Brando played in The Godfather, Carlo Gambino. He didn't use that name, obviously, but he lived in Massapequa, and he died in Massapequa as an old man watching a New York Yankees game on TV. Went out with a whimper, but here's a guy, crime boss, the Gambino crime family, and he lived only about a half a mile from us. I didn't know the guy. I never met him, and I probably didn't even know about it when I was a kid growing up there, that this, you know, guy was living right, you know, not down the block, but close enough where I could take my bicycle over his house. But anyway, don't forget, it's coming up this Monday night. It's must-see TV on my television, 8 o'clock with an encore at 9:30 on PBS Channel 10 in Milwaukee and on your cable systems. I think it's 10.1 or something like that. Brian Ewig and Tracy Newman examine the photographs and correspondence to reveal a side of Al Capone in the North Woods that you probably never knew, the Capone Connection. The name of the special is called Al Capone, Prohibition in Wisconsin. I'm watching. Hey, congratulations to you and Tracy, Brian. Thank you very much for coming in this morning. Do appreciate it.
Perfect. Thanks, Don, for having me. Appreciate it.
I know everyone's going to watch. Congratulations on that.
Thanks a bunch.
Hold on a second. Don't go anywhere. All right, it's 6:59. Who do we have coming in at 7:06? Hold on a second. Let me think. I had the name written down here a sec. Oh, David Mack's going to be here.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. Just letting you know that on Wednesday, the 24th, Todd will be back with us live in Wausau. So join us then from noon to 2.
This is Chuck Smith, founder of Kern Electric. I want to thank you, Southeast Wisconsin, for making us number one electrical service company in our area. From residential and commercial to all things solar. Do you know the number one reason people call Kern Electric? It is trust. We answer the call. They trust our heroes in their home and businesses. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, I'm so very proud of our team of heroes. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com. Home of the superheroes.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260 CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.